a grand adventure, exploring the U.S. in an Airstream trailer, looking for a place that they connect to, looking for a place that is going to be home for them. So if you're interested in Breck and what their family's doing, you can follow their adventures on bootstrappedwithkids.com.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
You've been on a quest for location for how long now?
Since August.
And you thought you were going to go to Austin from New Hampshire?
Yes.
So what made you decide that you wanted to be in a different place?
I didn't want to kill myself anymore.
That's a really good motivation.
Yeah.
As a mental health professional, I fully support that.
I was just really deeply unhappy with being there to the point where I found myself like business rising and everything. And I'm in complete control of my time, and I'm in my office, in my home office, like just crying in the middle of the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a lot of that you attributed to where you were.
I felt really, really isolated, especially during the winters. And we had just really depressing winters. Like, I like snow. I do a number of snow sports, like as much as anybody you would know. And it just wasn't even suitable for that. I mean, it's the challenge with New England is that if you've ever lived there, then you know that unless you're in the city, everybody is from there or from right around there, wherever they're living. And so like making new friends or just anything new is it's unworkable. By contrast, when I moved to San Francisco the first time, went to San Francisco the first time and I moved there in 1999, nobody was from there. I'm meeting all these people and it's so easy to meet them because nobody's from there. Everybody wants to make a friend. Everybody wants to find out what you're doing, why you're there and talk about why they're there. You don't have that in New England. It's super tight. Maybe people stay because they went to school there, so they hang around a little bit more. But most of the time, they were born and raised there, and so were their families, you know, their parents and their parents before them. We lived in Exeter for 2 years, and we made maybe two or three friends there, you know, at all, like families. I have connected more quickly with people on the road. We've had more invitations and people reach out to us within just a couple of weeks of being in other places. Asheville, for example, now in Bend, where you're just meeting people like on the street or at the park because nobody's from here. So, and they've all just been here 1 or 2 or 5 years. It's a totally different vibe. And so it's just much, much more open when you're in a place where it's not everybody's from. Yeah, I really attribute it to the location. I never wanted to be there. I never wanted to go back there. I think I felt stuck.
So now that you're on the road living in an Airstream trailer with 3 kiddos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though life is louder, probably, it sounds like you're a lot happier.
You know, I found that everybody was in this like Monday through Friday commuter. Come home, bring your kid to some special class. Saturdays booked up with birthday parties and soccer practice and repeat. I hated it. And it was just like a constant like moving around of the children seemingly without like thought.
Get child A to place B and just sort of shifting people.
And why are we even doing it? Like, did anybody even want to do this? Or are we just doing this because their friends are doing it or... Like, so it was complicated. Plus maintaining a house that size, you know, it's a huge house, a couple acres and stuff, and you're cleaning and moving and organizing stuff. And so we're actually a lot simpler.
So of the places that you visited or spent more significant time, how did those places affect the way that you thought about or approached your work?
When we first started and when we had the intention of Austin, one idea was better weather. The other idea is go be around like a heavy startup business vibe to contribute to growing the business. What we found was that like, maybe that's not the point. Maybe that's not the point of the place that you're in, or at least it isn't for us and not in this stage in our lives. And so I think, at least for me, it's important to have some community and something going on where I can be around like-minded people who are working on similar things and who speak the same business language and all that. But I think at some point, and it was probably somewhere around South Carolina, our idea of what we were pursuing and why really changed. So it turned into, let's compress this time that I'm working into the smallest possible box so that we can experience where we are the most. And that really changed, because once you start doing that, and it's not just about like, or I'm going to hunker down and work for 12 or 14 hours a day, 4 or 5, 6 days a week. You know, at least for us, it's really about, then we want to be in a place where we want to be when we're not working.
Location became more about the pleasure of it and what it meant for your life with your family than choosing a location based on at least heavily weighted toward work opportunities.
Much more about the time when I'm not working than when I am working. Absolutely. Yeah. Which isn't to say that I think there needs to be a balance. You know, there have been plenty of places that we liked a lot. Like, for example, Charlottesville. We spent some extra time in Charlottesville, Virginia. UVA is there. It's a great little town. It's a little town. I think not probably stimulating enough. I had some like serendipitous moments there. You know, I met people on the street who were talking about startups. They invited me to the conference that happens there, happened to be happening the next day. It's the biggest startup conference of the year and all that. And I did all that kind of stuff. It was too small. We love the outside and the weather and all that kind of thing about it. But it's like the Goldilocks thing. But then we went to Austin. We spent time in San Francisco. And it's just so tight and hectic and busy. That wasn't the right fit either. I mean, when we were in Austin, I ended up working all the time. I don't know why.
Because you didn't need to, right?
Yeah, I didn't need to. I hadn't worked for the 3 months prior, but I did. I found myself just standing at a desk all day.
What was it about Austin that sort of brought that out in you?
I'm going to be careful not to treat your podcast like my podcast, where it's just a potty mouth the whole time. So I'll say that the weather wasn't the best while we were there. And we were staying in a very urban location. And it was just other people were working. And there's a co-working space there that I went to that was always busy and had like a big working vibe and all that. And I guess the other thing is that there wasn't much else that I really was dying to get out of work to go do other than like food and drink, whereas other locations like Asheville and a few places in Virginia and now Bend, it's like, I want to get out to do these things, to see these outside spaces and do the mountain biking, the skiing and all that. So I don't want to be there at the desk.
But those like more intensive urban environments that are busier just don't inspire you in the same way. And so the default is to work.
Exactly. I go into default mode, work, 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 and then at some point I have to eat and then go find the best restaurant that I can for the day and the beverage and do that kind of routine, which I don't want to be in that routine. I think I had that routine for a long time and I should be beyond that at this age.
So people think about these startup hubs, San Francisco or Austin, as places to make connections and get a lot done. And they're the center of the world for work. Maybe initially that's what you thought you wanted until you got there and thought, wow, I really want my life to be about more than this.
Yeah, I realized I was 40 with 3 kids.
You're not 23 anymore, Brad.
Exactly. I had a time when I'd be up at 5, at the gym before work, at work by 7, work all day, get out for drinks, dinner, repeat, like as many days as possible. And I think an urban environment for that kind of thing is great. And I know a lot of people who, I have a lot of friends in San Francisco and in Austin. I know a lot of people who just kind of thrive on the vibe of a city and they like that energy and that pace. For me, that's not where I'm at anymore. So, I mean, I think if you're someone who's considering a new location, you really need to think about what drives you and when you feel like best and healthiest and most productive and most balanced and all of that. For me, it's not the city. I think it used to be at one time, but it's not anymore.
So it involves your phase of life, your values, your like immediate goals and your long-term goals.
Yeah, at some point in the trip, and we do pretty regular check-ins, as you'd imagine. There's not work together all the time. We're in 240 feet at one point we sat down, we were like, you know, what's funny is a lot of times we don't even have to sit down. Like we just happen to be thinking the same thing about where we're at and what we're doing. And one of us will bring it up and the other will agree. Yep. That's how we're feeling. We said, okay, so where is it that we've been really enjoying? Like, what are the things that we've been enjoying? We kind of got a profile down. And so we were like, well, anything smaller than approaching 100,000 people is kind of too small. Like, it's not going to have the types of places that we want to go when, for example, just like out to dinner. You better have a decent Vietnamese restaurant in town or I'm not going to want to be there. It's got to be a place where we can get around it without a lot of traffic. And then kind of like work this down to, we were looking for a mountain town with around 100,000 people where there's some kind of some semblance of a tech thing happening. And we got together a list and started doing research and then started kind of pursuing those towns. Now, we haven't hit them all because I've arrived in Bend and I don't think I'm going to leave.
You found it.
Yeah.
So besides being a mountain town of over 100,000 people, what is working for you about Bend?
Yeah, or of approaching it. It's actually, I think it's about 80,000 people. I think too big, and we don't want that either. So for me, it's a combination of like the weather and the outdoor sport opportunities. Always have been big in that. It's a big part of my life, like an everyday kind of a thing, or at least a 3 or 4 days a week kind of thing. We don't be having to commute to our activities. We don't want to be in a place where we've got to drive an hour or 2 hours every weekend to go do the kinds of things that you want to do when you're recreating. We like to be able to go out when it's date night and have other people be out also and have sort of a, I don't want to say sophisticated, but, you know, food and drink that's good and well thought out and
not
probably local and farm to table. And, you know, you're not going to catch me at an Applebee's ever. No offense to Applebee's goers, but we're foodies and we like that. And so we need that to be available. So that kind of thing's working for Ben. The other thing that's working here is they've got a great community of entrepreneurs. What we found is that a lot of places that we like, people say, oh, yeah, it's great. But if you want to live there, bring your job because there aren't any here. And I say, great. That works wonderfully for me. Perfect. Because what happens is that all the people that you end up meeting are here because they've chosen to be here. And then they're also working independently and entrepreneurs who are making their own money and are on their own steam so that they can be here. And that's a very different thing from being in a bedroom community where everybody's, you know, driving an hour each way to their box and back, their cube farm and back. Because now everybody, you know, when I'm going around here, all the vehicles have got letters on them, got the names of a business and that kind of thing. And so I want to be around those types of people who are making their own way and building their own businesses. And in the places where there are no air finger quotes jobs, that's what you find, especially the better places where people want to go to live, to be around the activities they want to do.
So even if it's not a tech hub, it's a hub of entrepreneurship in the broader sense. People are either starting their own businesses or bringing their portable businesses with them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shared values, it sounds like.
Yeah. And, you know, we really wanted a co-working space. A co-working space is a good sign that a place is going in the right direction. There is one here and it's growing very quickly and has a lot of tech people in it. And so that's been really important to me. I belong to one in New Hampshire that was great in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and still have great friends from there. I worked for a month at one in Asheville. I tried one out in Austin. I went to some in San Francisco. So I really like working in that environment. Not every single day. I don't want to do it like a job, like a 9-to-5, Monday to Friday thing, but I want to be able to detach and go into a place and just kind of crank and then leave it and be able to be around other people while I'm there who are also doing the same thing.
So that's been a good litmus test of places for you. Do they have a co-working space? Is it a good co-working space? Do you get a lot done there? Is it productive?
Yeah. And if there is no co-working space, then I'm kind of suspect, like, why is that? You know, probably because there aren't enough people doing the kind of things I want to do there.
Well, cool. Anything else you want to say about why place matters or the quest for a place?
I've sort of had this idea of like intentional living or living intentionally, that at least for me, and I know for a lot of people that I know, we end up in places, in jobs, and in doing things that we didn't choose for ourselves, that somehow or other happen to us. And I think that's the worst. I think that it's unexamined, and you are just doing what you're doing because you happen to be doing it, you know? At some point, my lineage, we needed blue-collar jobs, and they were in Lynn, Massachusetts, and so they went there. And so I think that if you're not happy or fully satisfied with what you're doing, then at least for me, I really had to look at, like, why am I doing this? And why do I feel like I have to do this? And what would it look like if I were to design it myself? You know, would it look anything like this? And what we've found is that a lot of people want to have input on your life and on what you should be doing and where you should be doing it for their benefit. And it really doesn't have very much to do with reality. If you're wondering where you should be, or if you're just not living optimally, as far as you can tell, then maybe examine what that is, why it is, and remember that it's nobody else's business, and the thing will work if you're aligned with your spouse, supposing you have one.
Well, you're, I think you're preaching to the Zen founder choir in the sense that that's, if there's nothing else that we try to communicate on this podcast, it's just to do some simple self-reflection and make sure you're good with what life is happening for you.
I guess I should listen more because...
Oh, come on, Breck. We could have saved you all this trouble.
Seriously.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me and talk about your adventures.
Today, we're talking about how place matters and specifically how it impacts your life and how it can impact your business, your ability to start a startup and keep it going, and just how it impacts your ability to work and get work done. There's a couple kind of external resources I want to point to that I think have a lot to say about place and how it impacts all of those things. And the first is called The Rise of the Creative Class. There's a couple sequels to it as well. I've heard they're not nearly as good, but this was a book written 10, 15 years ago based on a bunch of research about how the creative class, when it infiltrates a city, that it can have major implications for revitalizing that city and how it can make a city like a great place to live and work. This also talks about what it takes to bring the creative class to your city or to your area. In this book, they define a creative class as architects, designers, computer programmers. I don't remember what else. You remember what else?
Yeah, they included like fashion designers and even hairdressers.
Artists, authors.
Basically anybody who makes their living by making something or using their innate creative skills for their livelihood.
That's right. And when you listen to this book, it's fascinating because it made me, A, want to go live near a bunch of creative class people, even if it's not a bunch of startup founders. Like, we've all been to a city where it just feels like it's alive. And, you know, I imagine it's like Paris in the 1930s or it's Prague in the 1980s and Manhattan maybe there for a certain decade or two. And all of these cities still have that creativity, but there was, I think, these epical kind of decades that really made a difference. And once that happens and that momentum gets going, it's really hard to break because more and more creative people want to be around other creative people.
And the second piece of material that we use in this conversation that we throw around all the time is an old blog post or essay by Paul Graham called Cities and Ambition. And in that essay, he outlines, I think the original essay had maybe 5 cities, but he talked about in depth in terms of what that city is trying to accomplish and therefore what the people in that city are trying to accomplish, what they're pursuing, what they're seeking. So for example, roughly speaking, the ambition of Los Angeles is beauty, and the ambition of New York is money, and the ambition of the Silicon Valley is power.
Right. And he differentiates between, he says, in New York, if you have a bunch of money, you're important. In the Bay Area, you can have a bunch of money and no one cares. It's if you are the Google guys or you run a company that has a lot of impact on the world and you don't make any money, you can still be important, or it'd still be ambition of the Bay Area. Whereas if he ran a company that had a lot of impact but doesn't have money, then in Manhattan, his thesis is that that's not the ambition of Manhattan, so you're not as important.
It's really how that location defines success.
Well, and the ambition of a city, I mean, the reason this is important, and we're going to kind of dive deeper into this concept here in a second, but the reason this is important is that if you live in a city whose ambition is to being outdoorsy, I mean, we've kind of expanded this and said, like, I think Seattle, the ambition is to be outdoors a lot. And if you live in that city, you're naturally going to gravitate towards that because that's what everyone does. If you live in LA, you're naturally going to be pulled to looking better, right? Or to exercising more. And there's a plus and a minus to that because we lived in LA. We lived in Pasadena for 5 years. And I did enjoy that it pulled me to kind of look better. But I also felt like at times I was buying clothes that maybe weren't my style or they were too expensive because I was trying to fit in with all these people who were super fashionable. So this can cut both ways if the ambition is maybe not something that you really embrace and you're just trying to fit in.
The way that this applies to our lives is to try to find a place that matches your own ambition. And so that the place feeds you, the place supports your creativity, supports your desire. But you also have a community of people who are interested in the same kinds of things.
Yeah, the thesis that we're throwing out here, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is that where you live will have a dramatic impact on your short-term and long-term motivation and your ability to get a startup off the ground and keep your family sane and just make life run. And being isolated and living in a place where no one else is doing what you're doing is a real challenge. And on the flip side, if you move to a hustling, bustling startup center, let's say you move to the center of San Francisco, it will have a dramatic impact in the other way, but you can also get swept up in that current. I know that as a bootstrapper, if I moved to San Francisco, that would probably be a negative for us. One, because it's expensive to live, and there's no reason for me to be there since we are location independent. And two, everybody wants to raise funding and they're talking about these billion-dollar ideas, and that naturally becomes the ambition of everyone around you. And it's hard to continuously say no to that year in, year out. And so where you choose to live and who you choose to associate with is going to have an impact on your ambition and the desires that you hold, both with your family life and with your startup.
So let's maybe break it down and get a little bit more concrete for the first part of our conversation. And I think one of the things that we've considered when we've looked at different places to live is the impact of the day-to-day working environment. So if you're working from home, are there other people working from home? If you are looking for co-working spaces, what's available if you're interested in coffee shops? What's available for the bootstrapper who's not going to go into an office, but yet needs a work environment that's stimulating and interesting?
Exactly. Because if you try to work from home, there's pros and cons to this, right? It's very isolating, but it can be highly productive because there's hopefully no distractions, assuming you have an office and your kids aren't coming in all the time. If you find a co-working space or a small office around a bunch of startups, there's a ton of energy, but it can also be distracting because it can pull you away from the work and so you're less focused. And then the coffee shop's kind of a mix of that, right? It's energizing, but you don't know anyway. But you don't know everybody, so it's not necessarily going to pull you away. But then the working conditions are not great because your desk is not the right height and the internet's slow and chairs aren't comfortable and all this stuff. So the reason this matters, this is the micro place conversation, right? Macro place is where you live and micro place is where you choose to work at that place and even what your city offers, because there's a lot of cities that we've moved to or been to that don't have a co-working space, don't have a good coffee shop scene. And so unless you go out and rent an office in some stodgy commercial office space, like a strip mall or something, you have to work from home. And I think that's a real thing to consider when you are thinking about where to locate, because the difference between working in a co-working space around other startup founders and working from home is it can be night and day over the long term. I feel like you should stagger this. And that's been my best combination, is to say 2 days a week from home, 3 days a week from an office around other people doing what I'm doing. And if you can find a place that offers you that, I think you're kind of maximizing your opportunity here.
It was interesting to talk to Breck about this because he really looked at the availability of co-working spaces as he and his family traveled around the country and looked at different cities that they were interested in living, that the availability of a co-working space was sort of a litmus test of, are there enough people here that are like me to support a co-working location. And if there's not a co-working location, then it's sort of this red flag of, wow, there may not be enough independent entrepreneurial types who are around in order to justify the availability of this service.
I think that's an excellent test. I think it's fantastic, especially in this day and age. I mean, co-working spaces are becoming so popular. I would have a really tough time moving to a place now. It would feel like a step backwards if we moved to a place without some type of co-working environment where I could be around other people and feed off the energy at least a couple days a week.
It was interesting, though, as part of that conversation is that the co-working space was also really shaped by the city in which it was. So Brack talked about working at a co-working space in Austin and it being like frenetic, almost like lots of startup folks who are just like buzzing with the busyness of work. And Brack talked about finding himself working way more than he needed to because that was the energy and the vibe of that co-working space.
Right. That was the ambition of those around him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, if you go to San Francisco, you'll get the same thing. It's this hardcore buzz. It's also super expensive. I think it's like $300 a month or something to be part of a co-working space up there. You come to Fresno, it's less frenetic. Fresno is where we live in the Central Valley of California. It's a quieter place to live. There may not be as much buzz and as much energy in our co-working space, but I think it's like $30 or $40 a month. So I'm, you know, a tenth of the price. And there's more of an emphasis on lifestyle and quality of life. And so the ambition maybe to not move as quickly or to not have as grand an ambition, you know, building a $1 billion company. But if that's your deal, and that is my deal, right? That's our deal is to balance lifestyle and work. Then this, you could argue, is actually a better place for us to be.
I think the core of this conversation is to encourage folk to be thoughtful about where they're living and whether or not it's really supporting who they want to be. But the conversation is more complicated than, oh, you're a startup person, move to a startup hub. Some of those startup hubs can present some challenges that may not be that good either for productivity or for wellness.
So we've touched on kind of the micro aspect of it, of like, I love that litmus test of a co-working space. So now let's look at the more the macro thing of like, you know, cities versus suburbs versus international. I think there's a lot to discuss here. I had always imagined myself as a tech person living in a major tech hub. So San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Boston, New York, LA, Austin, you know, something where there's a lot of tech workers. The benefits of that are that the energy is amazing. The creative class is there in full force. Cities, they stimulate ingenuity, right? So there's good ambition there, right? And there's ambition to build technology, to make a difference and to kind of make a dent in the world. On the flip side, we have found ourselves for the past 6 years now, basically living in a more suburban environment. We lived in Pasadena for 5 years, then we moved to the East Coast for a couple years, and now we're back in California for the past six, living in Fresno, California, which is an agricultural area. And when we moved here, there really was, I would say, not a tech scene at all. And it's kind of formed up as we've been here. And that is not a place that I thought that we would be happy long term.
As much as we loved living in both Pasadena and Boston, in the other cities that we've lived in and spent time in, I mean, it's sort of ironic, but you have all of the creative class energy, but I also think you have almost too much homogeneity, that cities can begin, or communities of people can begin, to do this sort of groupthink thing where everyone is working from the same assumptions. And I think there's actually been some value in us traveling around and in living in different cities so we don't get kind of stuck in one way of thinking for too long. Just sort of a late example, like when we lived in LA, kind of everyone we knew was vegan and gluten-free. And those are very, very valid lifestyle choices, and I'm not critical of them at all, except that it was just sort of funny to see how ubiquitous that became. And then we'd go back east, or we'd go visit friends in other parts of the country, and like, that wasn't in place at all, or it wasn't as universal as it was there. So there can become these trends and ways of thinking and ways of living that I think in some ways can actually stifle creativity.
And there's also the distraction of the city, right? There's so much to do. There's so much culture. There's so much going on. And I think that that can definitely lead to not focusing on work and family, which I think are two things that are very important to me as a founder, and probably a lot of folks listening to this.
Probably more problematic than the culture is the traffic, right? The distracting nature of what's required to live in a city and how much time and work it takes to just sort of manage life there. The amount of time you spend commuting, even to go to a friend's house or go to the beach, the amount of time you spend looking for parking, some of those urban stressors, perhaps, I think are probably more distracting or detrimental than the plethora of museums.
That's right. I mean, having lived in, like we've lived in a couple cities in LA and Boston and everything, there was a tax of time to do anything. And you take the good with that, which is all the awesomeness of those cities, but it does make your life a little harder to manage. You have less time to do things, right? Because even a short commute winds up being long during traffic times. And that's one of the benefits that we've found living in a more suburban area where we don't commute into a city, obviously, is that we have a lot more time. We have a lot more time with our kids. We have a lot more time to work on side projects or to hang around. So that can be more time for work and more time for family as well. There can be isolation if you take this too far and you live in a place where no one's doing what you're doing. But I feel like our initial hesitation when we moved to Fresno, we were like, uh-oh, we may have made a mistake here. And I think the last 6 years has turned that boat for me. And it's shown that there is this interesting balance of this more abundant time, or people call it quality of life. You know, it's a lifestyle that exists here. And now there is a tech scene. There is this creative class that is forming around this company, Bitwise, downtown. And I found that I've become extremely productive over the past couple of years since we've had this small office in this Bitwise building that's around, there's 27 other small startups here. And so for me, at this point in my life, with a family and balancing a bootstrap software company that could be located anywhere in the world, this is the kind of balance that is really, really optimal for us.
And I think one of the things that has been surprising about this choice and where we have ended up living is something happened at some point along the way in our time in Fresno. And maybe before I comment on this, I'll give a little bit of background about Fresno. Fresno doesn't have the best reputation in the state of California. It has been called the armpit of the state of California. Like, it's not necessarily the Laguna Beach image. And according to the Brookings Institute, it's the number one city in the country for concentrated poverty, meaning that there are very high levels of poverty in this city and that those folks who are living in poverty live sort of in a sequestered, cloistered area. So it's a city with significant problems. We have high air pollution. We have a lot of crime. As I mentioned, high degrees of poverty, lots of failing schools. It's a long list. It's not Portland. You know, it's not one of those cities that people think about like, ah, Fresno. But what has happened is that we have found that while this may not be a city that totally feeds us, it is a city where we can like make significant contributions and be helpful and help form tech communities and help sort of change the way that mental health care is delivered in the community. It's been an opportunity kind of early-ish in our careers to be pretty big fish, and we hope to do good, you know, to be in a place where we can be of service. And that has fostered our creativity because we've taken our training and skills and ideas from the other cities that we've lived in and from the things that have happened in our lives up to this point. And we bring them to this new place that can really benefit from the kinds of experiences and expertise that Rob and I can bring to the community. I never thought about that when I thought about where I would choose to live, but it's been both sort of personally satisfying and I hope helpful.
Yeah, that's an interesting element. We've stuck to kind of how this benefits me, right? Where my place can benefit me. But you've just brought up this idea of being of service and being able to shape a community. And if that's of interest to you, and I think that's another factor that can come into play.
And that certainly fuels a lot of productivity and a lot of work energy, as well as some of the kind of suburban work life, quality of life things that are available. So we've had this kind of unlikely journey to a city in Central California. And so far it's been meaningful and it's been good to us and a good place to live. But there's a part of me that is kind of eyeing the perpetual traveler scene. And as we've talked about in other podcasts, I've taken month-long trips every year for the last couple of years and hope to keep doing that. But I wouldn't be surprised if at a different phase of life, maybe when our kids are a little bit older, we opt to do more traveling and even perpetual traveling when it kind of feels like our work in Fresno is done. So I think the other thing about place is, of course, it's not permanent. And you can adjust where you're living according to what you're needing at the time. When we were really early in our careers, it was fantastic to live in high resource, highly creative cities. Now that we are, like, I don't know, mid-career, I don't know what that means exactly, but we have taken the resources that were available and are able to use them now in a different city that has less resources. And when I say resources, I mean kind of intellectual resources, ideas, creativity. But I wouldn't say that we'll be here forever. So maybe the perpetual traveler scene will be our next location.
Yeah, I think it's totally viable. I mean, I'm obviously with the tropical MBA crowd. There's a ton of folks who are doing it. What I see is that they tend to do it for a year or two and then come back to their home base for a year or two and then bounce back and forth. I don't know that everybody does that, but I can see that as a viable option for us. I think that's the other point of this conversation, right? Or something to tack onto, as you said, I don't see that we're going to be here forever. And our parents probably saw themselves as living in the same place forever. That's just what they did. And their generations before them did that. But that's something that we know that we have moved 10 times in the past 15 years. And my guess is we will move again a few times at least before we wind up settling down somewhere. And every time we go to Portland, you know,
by settling down, do you mean like settling down in a coffin or?
No, just settling down somewhere for 15 or 20 years. I mean,
why would we do that?
Exactly.
Why are you going to rope us down into that?
There you go. Case in point. So every time we go to Portland, I know that you look at places to rent and we become enamored with it because it's such an amazing city. Same thing with areas of San Francisco. But I think it's worth valuing, taking a look and valuing what you have locally if you do have something that is actually working for you, and taking awesome trips to these places can be a temporary replacement for that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life. We'll